Go to Psalm 46. Psalm chapter 46, verses 5 through 11. Psalm 46, verses 5 through 11. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this truth, I pray that, Lord, you'd please help us understand. And then, Lord, help us. Lord, you said that you would help us remember the words you've spoken to us. So, Father, please, for those that don't need this message tonight, please recall it. I know that it will be needed in every person's life. So, Father, we just ask that you'd work in our hearts, strengthen us, and help us with your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you keep your finger there in Psalm 46, we're going to come back to that. Go to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to come back to Psalm 46. You say, what's different about this? Psalm 46 was read by the Jews every anniversary of the crossing of the Red Sea. So that would happen a little after Passover. The Passover has happened. They've left Egypt, 3 million people to go from Egypt down to the Gulf of Aqaba. Probably somewhere around a week after Passover would be the anniversary of the crossing of the Red Sea. And they would read Psalm 46. Why would they do that? Because look what God told Israel right before they crossed the Red Sea, and then we'll go back to Psalm 46. You're there in Exodus 14. Look at verse number 12. Ready? It says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? They're complaining again, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So they're hedged in. The sea is before them, Pharaoh's army is behind them, the mountains are on the side, and they can't retreat. And it looks like they're going to die. All right? So they're saying, why didn't you just leave us back in Egypt? You know, and here they are complaining, and that's going to be their legacy for the next 40 years. All they're going to do is complain. But look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God is saying, I'm getting ready to destroy them. Watch me. All right. Then look at verse number 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And so there's the first thing God tells them before they cross the Red Sea is through Moses. He says, fear ye not, stand still. Now, then they read Psalm. Now I'll go back to Psalm 46 and let me show you something. Psalm 46. This was also sung. This was sung every year at the anniversary of the crossing of the Red Sea. And in the New Testament, it was sung at the anniversary. This is called the Easter Psalm. They would sing this at the anniversary of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so you have a New Testament and Old Testament application there. Let's look at Psalm 46. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the Spanish Bible says a very pronto help. What's pronto mean? It means real quick, right? So it says, right when you need the Lord, He's quick to help. All right. I love that verse. Look at verse number 2. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So they took that fear that they had as they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and they were going to die. And they said, we really had no reason to fear. Therefore, because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help, though the earth be removed, we're not going to fear. Look at verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You say, what's that dealing with? I'll bet they heard the waters troubled when it caved in on the Egyptians. It was 900 feet tall on either side. Then all of a sudden, and then when did the ground shake? It'd shake about a week later when they're at the Mount Horeb, right? And the whole time God's with Moses, it says the earth shook and trumpets sounded and the mountains smoked. So they're about to feel the earth shake. They're remembering this. Look at verse number 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That's obviously going to be the New Jerusalem. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts, here it is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's that word refuge again. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord and what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh a bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. That would be during the millennium, right? Then, be still and know that I am God. Just like he told them right before they crossed, fear not, stand still. God says here in this psalm, be still. Now, that's why they use the reference, be still and stop your complaining. I'll explain that to you here in just a second. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There are so many reasons all through Psalm 46 that God says, I want you to be still. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your help. He's with you. So just be still and trust him. And know that he's God. Don't quarrel and complain to God about what he's doing like they did right before they crossed. Why don't we just leave us in Egypt? Why don't you trust God and see what God has for you instead of complaining? Be still. Still the complaining. Still asking God to explain himself. What sin did the children of Israel do most as God led them? What did God spank the nation of Israel more for most for the next 40 years? Complaining and griping and criticizing and murmuring. You would have thought one time God got so mad he just started killing them. I think he sent snakes. Just here, deal with that. Moses had to raise up a serpent, you know, Numbers chapter 21. God says to be very careful about your murmuring against him. God never has to explain himself to anybody, and God certainly doesn't have to answer to me. Be still and know that I am God. When I'm still and I'm willing to focus on the Lord, my faith helps me see God always bigger than my problems. If I'll just quiet down and quit panicking and quit being frustrated and focus on God. God doesn't have to say this again, but he says it in the book of Job in Psalm 37:14. Listen to this. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. So you've got be still and know that I am God. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. God tells us that we're supposed to be still so we can know him. Be still and think about what God has done in your life. Be still because of who he is. Be still by faith. Your emotions are saying gripe and complain. Your emotions say panic. Your emotions say, but we're going to... And God says, just be still. It's not being lazy. It's not being in denial. God just says, by faith, trust me. and just settle down. There are so many people in the Bible that God told to be still. If I take you to, as a matter of fact, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. The name of the sermon tonight is Be Still and Stand Still. And this is easy preaching and hard living, I'm telling you. It's hard when the pressure's on to trust God to see what He wants you to do. Because our natural response is to panic and freak out. In the Marine Corps, we called it flopping like a fish. You know, a fish that you just caught. We'd say, quit your flopping. I don't think they use that term anymore, but be still, settle down, and focus on God and see what God wants you to do. Watch this. Look at 1 Kings 19. Look at verse 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and seek my life to take it away. And he said, God said to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. I just think this is amazing. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Okay, stop. Tore the mountains. That is some wind, right? I think that's beyond hurricane force, right? This is amazing. So God says, Elijah, you stand right there. And it says, the Lord passed by and a wind comes that rends the mountain. It says here, and break in peace the rocks. That's just in case you missed, rend the mountain. Okay? Watch this. It says here, before the Lord, watch, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And I hope you underline this in your Bible, and after the fire, a still, small voice. God's not in the hoopla. Wind, earth shaking, fire. God says, I'm not in any of that. If you want to hear my voice, still yourself, be quiet, and listen to me speak. God doesn't need the marketing and imaging and the excitement. God does not, I'll say it again, He doesn't work through the hoopla. He doesn't need a party. He says, if you want to hear me and know that I'm God, settle yourself down, open your Bible, and read my word, and let me speak to you in a still, small voice. Quiet down. Then, watch this. God never says, hurry up. God does say, get out of the way and let me work. But God never says, hurry up, slowpoke. We say that in line, waiting to get our food, right? It's amazing to me. You go to Chick-fil-A and man, the people, help us. I think that's the worst part about dealing with fast food, is you'd have to deal with people's attitudes. I went to Arby's yesterday and they had one register working. Man, there were three people over there. Should you return the food? You know, the food goes bad if you wait too long. I'm sitting here going, wow. Go kill your own cow, cook it and shave it and put it on your own stinking sandwich. See how long it takes. Three of the people out of the eight that were waiting there were just bickering and griping. And I finally told, the manager came up, you know, his name's AJ. And I said, AJ, y'all are doing a great job. I said, every once in a while, it's good to have somebody. I said, I don't care how long I got to wait. I said, what do you think about that? He goes, you're different. It's amazing. God never says, hurry up. God does say sometimes to us, get out of the way. Listen to these verses on Proverbs 19:2 says, the soul that also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. I am much more apt to make a mistake by moving too fast than too slow and thinking things through. God says, if you hasten with your feet, and you move too quick, you're prone to sin. Well, I just got caught up in the moment. Yeah, you didn't slow down and think about what you were doing.
How about Proverbs 21, verse 5? The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want.
Well, just hurry up and get it done. Just hurry up, because we got to do this next.
If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. So slow down, get God's mind on it, ask the Lord to help you, and quit running through it. Be still and know that I am God. God never leads us with fear or stress. God leads us through fear and through stress, but God never leads you with fear and with stress. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. You will never know God until you rest quietly in His Word. God is not a panicky God. Watch this, 1 Samuel chapter 9, go there, you're in 1 Kings, go back a couple of books to 1 Samuel. Just turn back, 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to apply this here in just a minute, but it is wonderful to see the words stand still in the Bible. When God says, be still and know that I am God, I think there's an inference there, you're not going to know God unless you slow down. God doesn't hurry up and explain Himself. God doesn't hurry up and teach you the Bible. God doesn't hurry up and grow you spiritually. God says, be still, quiet yourself, and let me show myself to you, God says. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. Look at verse 26. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thy servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Stand still. And it's interesting, send your servant on, because this is a one-on-one. Have you ever known, aren't you glad God deals with us one-on-one? He doesn't deal with us as a group. Now, I like our group. I like our church. Amen. But God doesn't deal with us like this. God deals with you individually. And I can encourage you to read your Bible. But I promise you, the truths that God drives deep in your heart are the truths you get when you still yourself and you open His book and you let God speak to you and you come to God with a notebook and a pen. God, you give me something, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to mark the verse. Be still. Stand still a while that I may show thee the word of God. Take your Bible and let me show you one of the greatest illustrations. Go to 2 Chronicles now. Just go over to the right about four books. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Probably one of the greatest stories with King Jehoshaphat and the multitude that comes against him and the victory that God gives and what God told them that they had to do to experience victory. You know where it's going, right? Oh, I wonder what they told him, right? Really? No, you're not. God's going to tell him, be still. But this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when I got saved, my pastor showed me this. And this has been one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So at least three nations come against Jerusalem to Jehoshaphat. Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and on the side Syria, and behold, they be as Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, now they're going to start the prayer. Watch this. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, We stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Watch verse 12. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Preached a message called, What Do You Do When You Don't Know What to Do? And this was the text verse. God, neither know we what to do. Lord, if anything happens, it's going to be you that does it. So they're praying to God. They're at his mercy. They're casting themselves. Look at verse number 15. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up out of the cliff of Ziv, and ye shall find them at the end of the bank brook, for before the wilderness of Jeruel. And watch, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. You're not going to need to fight. God's going to do it all. Just do what you're told. Just settle down. And then he says here, look down at verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, basically what he tells them, he said, don't do anything. If you want to do anything, just praise God. So when it says here, when they started singing and praising the Lord, watch what happened. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So that God scared them, the whole multitude, so that they started fighting each other. And then they destroyed each other. And can you imagine being up on the cliff, watching, not doing anything, just singing, Amazing Grace. Maybe they were singing, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. But God said, don't do anything, just stand still. And if you want to do anything, sing praises to God. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And when they were all done, can you imagine the last two guys? There's like hundreds of thousands of dead soldiers, and the last two guys are, I'm going to kill you, and probably on the same war thing, I'm going to kill you. And there's not one Israelite among them. And they came to fight him. Oh, yeah. You know, both at the same time. Watching that up on a cliff must have been, I want to see that video when we get to heaven. Amen? All right, there's several videos I want to see. That's one of them, okay? Now, with this in mind, standing still is hard because it goes against our nature. Our nature is to panic and complain and freak out. God said in Psalm 46:10, Be still and know that I am God. So when should you stand still? Stand still when you don't know what to do. Well, I didn't know what to do. So you freaked out. Look, wait for instruction from God. Get some instruction, especially when you don't know what to do. When you're at the bottom and it doesn't look good, don't do anything. Have you ever said anything you wish you hadn't have said? It's because you didn't stand still. Well, I just speak my mind. God says you're a fool. Stand still when you don't know what to do. Stand still when you're attacked. Keep your mouth shut. It's not going to do any good to fight back. I didn't say don't defend yourself. You have a scriptural right to defend your family and yourself. I'm talking about verbal lashings and things like this. I don't have to respond the moment somebody, you're stupid. Did you know it says a wise man holds his peace till afterwards? They always say, beware of the quiet guys, right? It's the loose cannons that's got to shoot off their mouth. Well, I've got to get the last word in. I don't have to get the last word in. Just be still when you're attacked. Stand still when you don't know what to do. Stand still when you're attacked. Stand still when you're discouraged. When you're discouraged, you should know not to make a decision. What are you doing? When your decision maker's broke, why are you using it? When it's being overridden with emotion and fear, what are you doing? Well, I got to do something. You could stand still and you could pray. You could ask God for help instead of freaking out. But when you're discouraged, it's just like if you go shopping when you're hungry, you're going to make a stupid decision, right? Eat something before you go to the store, or everything looks good. You just go along the shelf and scrape it all in your basket. You say, why? Because I'm hungry. Then you get home and it's like, what'd I buy all that for? Well, same thing's true. Don't make a decision when your decision maker's broke. When you're discouraged, don't make a decision. If you get discouraged, shut up and smile. Wait until it's done. I think it was one person said, never despair, but if you despair, work on in despair. Don't let the despair make your decisions. Don't let your despair cause you to quit. Just keep on working. I've known people that have tried to go back and recapture the old days. I've known people who moved back after they retired to where they grew up, and then they learned the same truth. You can't relive your youth. You can't regain the years. Things change. People get discouraged. What are you supposed to do? Stand still. Be still. Stand still when you're backslidden. People make their worst decisions in life when they're backslidden. Look, when you're sick, you need a doctor, right? Don't be your own doctor. I diagnose myself. Every doctor, they say that's the worst part about being a doctor, is you can't see the forest for the trees. Doctors need other doctors, right? When you get in trouble with the law, you don't want to be your own lawyer, right? When you have financial decisions to make, you find yourself a financial expert, you pay them to help you. The same thing's true when you're backslidden. You need to find somebody that's closer to God than you to help make your spiritual decisions when you're backslid, so you don't make a mistake. You know, I have a lot of respect for, there's been a couple of people in my lifetime that have said, I mean, they've just come right out and said, and I appreciate their realness. But they're just like, preacher, I'm not right with God right now, and I don't need to be making any decisions. I've heard that 2 times in 30 years. And I just looked at the person, I said, that's pretty wise. When you're willing to admit, I'm not spiritually right with God, I'm just going through the motions right now, I'm not reading my Bible like I should, I'm not close to God like I should be, I really don't need to be making these decisions like this. I don't lose respect for people like that. I'm like, well, I've been backslid before too. I'm glad you're willing to admit it. I'm not going to put it in the bulletin. Amen. But I'm glad you're willing to admit it. I can keep my mouth shut. Amen. But I'm glad when we're trying to have a spiritual conversation, you're willing to admit that. I think that's wise. When you're backslid, and you know if you're backslid or not, The Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. So everybody knows when they're backslidden. Everybody knows when they're not right with God. When you're critical, when you defend wrongdoing, when you justify someone's lack of right doing, when you find fault with spiritual leaders, when you have trouble praying, when you have trouble reading your Bible, when you have trouble going soul winning, when you have trouble tithing, you know you're backslidden. If you know you're backslidden, then stand still and let God show himself to you again. Amen? You know, we learned Wednesday night, our life story is pretty much the same. I got saved. God blessed me. I sinned. Then God brought me back. And God blessed me, and I sinned. And then God brought me back, and then he blessed me, and I sinned. Everybody's life story is going to be something along those lines with different circumstances. Stand still when you're angry. Most people leave churches when they're mad. Most people get a divorce when they're mad. Most parents commit child abuse when they're mad. Here's a tip. When you want to kill the child and you're mad, cool down before you discipline them. That's why we say send them to their room. That's how come we don't spank immediately, because I need to cool down. You did what? What did Dad send me to my room for? Man, I hate thinking about it. Left me in there for a half hour. I must have really blown it. Dad was cooling down. cool down before you discipline. So you don't do what? So you don't overdo it and have regrets. Somebody said, never discipline your children in anger. I sort of agree with that. I think you should never discipline your children when you're out of control. But I'm not sure you can separate the emotion. Amen. You just got to cool down. When you're mad, you lose your reasoning power, and it's never a time to make a decision. Be still and know that I am God. And finally, let me close with this. Stand still when your feelings are hurt. Satan knows how to get you off balance. The Bible says that we grow and we're right with God by the renewing of our minds, and God wants you to be a person of reason, not a person of passion. God says, let us reason together. God says, I want to think with you. Most killings are done out of anger and passion. God wants to renew our minds, and He does it through the Word of God. That's why you need to come to Sunday school and church and Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, Psalm 46, it starts out that way, and it works its way down to verse 10, be still and know that I am God. It's easy preaching and hard living. It's easy to say, when the pressure's on, settle down and let God help you. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But it's something you will either learn to do it or you'll destroy yourself. A very important basic truth. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight.